Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. You know, to me, one of the most interesting things about the parables of Jesus is that most of the time, we can see ourselves in them. His parables are almost like mirrors, reflecting back to us our own images. Now, the image may not always be exact. Sometimes the details are a little blurred, but there's something or someone there that reflects back to us a picture of ourselves. And almost subconsciously, we find ourselves saying, hey, that story is about me. Now, with that thought in mind, let's take another look at today's parable. Jesus speaks of returning from heaven and sitting upon a throne with all of the nations assembled before him. Then he tells us that he will separate people into groups, placing one group on his left and another group on his right. Then those on the right are told that they can enter the joys of heaven, because they ministered to Jesus in his time of need. And they're surprised, and they ask when they had done these good things for the Lord. And Jesus explains that by helping those in need, they were actually helping him. And then, of course, the people on the left hear exactly the opposite message. They are denied entry into the joys of heaven, because they turned their backs upon the Lord in his hour of need. And they too are surprised by this statement, and they want to know when they had been guilty of neglect. And the Lord explains that by refusing to help those in need, they were actually refusing to help him. Now that's the story as Jesus told you, but let me ask you a question this morning. Where do you see yourself in this story? What person or group of persons do you most identify with? Do you belong to the helpers on the right or to the non-helpers on the left? Well, let me tell you how I used to identify with this parable. I could not completely identify with either group. I felt a kinship with both of them. I mean, there have been times when I have helped, and so have you. I have given to charity. I have made donations to good causes. I have taken food baskets to the needy families at Christmas. I have visited the sick in their homes and in the hospital. And of course, just by paying my taxes, a certain portion of that goes to help people. But you know, I also must confess to you that there have been times when I have been too tired, too preoccupied with my own problems, or just weary with the never-ending needs of the needy. There have been those times when I have stopped looking and excused myself from giving help. And if you're anything like me, I suspect that you have probably done that a few times yourself. So which are we? We sort of have a foot in each camp, don't we? Sometimes we have been selfish, and at other times we have been generous. Sometimes we find ourselves really caring about people. And at other times, life so overwhelms us that we find ourselves almost completely absorbed in our own problems. So therefore, it seems to me that the most honest place to stand is somewhere between the helpers and the non-helpers. Now, maybe some of us belong to one group more than the other, but all of us are a little bit of both. And none of us is entirely either one. So given all of this, the next question is this: what on earth does this parable mean? What message is Jesus trying to convey to us? Well, the usual interpretation seems to be that we should roll up our sleeves, get out there, and try like heck to be full-time helpers. Now that certainly would be nice, and the world would be a much better place if more people actually tried to do that. But I suspect that for most of us, this effort would not last very long. You know, and even if it did, we would become a superior group of human beings, the generous benefactors of all the poor and needy. We would be the incredibly strong, dispensing aid to God's needy people. You know, and if we ever actually did do that, I think it's would be such a spiritual ego trip that I don't even think God himself would be able to stand us. So what we have to do is go back to this parable and look at it again, because we're missing the point. In fact, the message is so simple that we walk right past it. Now remember the parable. There are actually not two groups of people. There are three groups of people. There were the people who helped, and there were the people who did not help, and then there was the people that needed help. That last group is the one that people always overlook. And it's very strange that we should do that, because these are the only people that Jesus chose to identify himself with. He said that to help them was to help him, and to neglect them was to neglect him. Now this, I think, is the real message of the parable. Jesus took his stand with the needy people of this world and said, in effect, this is where I live. These are my people. I belong to them, and they belong to me. Now can we comprehend the significance of this? Jesus not only cared about the needy and sought to help them, he completely identified himself with the needy. They were not this other group, separate and apart. They were his brothers and sisters. Their hunger was his hunger. Their loneliness was his loneliness. Their need was his need. He spoke of them not in the third person, them, but in the first person, I, because he himself belonged to the fellowship of the needy. And let's face it, good friends, that's where you and I belong as well. It isn't as if the needy people of this world are some other group over there and we're perfectly okay. It isn't as if they are the people who need help and we are the people who give help. Not that at all. We are all members of the same group. They are part of the family, and so are we. We all belong to the fellowship of the needy. Now, most of you are probably old enough to have figured out by now that none of us is really completely self-sufficient. I need your help, and you need mine. This is not an exclusive club. Everybody in the world is a member. In fact, the only outsiders are those who deliberately refuse to participate, as if they are somehow above having to need other people. But if they live long enough, they'll soon find out that they do need people. We need each other, whether we get honest about it enough to admit it or not. So who are the needy? I am. You are. Everybody is. Today I might help you, but tomorrow I may need your help. We are all members of the same family, sharing our love, sharing our resources, sharing our needs. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm actually kind of glad that I'm just an ordinary, weak, needy human being. And you know why that is? Because I'm never alone. And I am a brother of Jesus Christ himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.